For all the talk about shooting threes in this league, if you can't break the paint effectively, then you're basically the Brooklyn Nets. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Chicago Bulls season in review, and I'm going to look at the glasses half full with them, even though I don't have the responsibility that Chicago Bulls fans have to shame their favorite team. I also want to point out that all these team reviews are being done much more comprehensively for NBA fantasy pass holders. We're getting some industry best names with a track record of kicking ass on these things. Mike Pasador, Keston Paul, Mark Camaro, and more, giving you the front office quality work that these pieces really do deserve. Here we get to just talk about it, and we'll kind of go off on our little side notes and whatnot. But today we're not talking about the Bulls. We're talking about the Brooklyn Nets. One last thing before we bring in the godfather of fantasy hoops, I do want to ask you guys to like and subscribe to the show. All right, time to pay some bills. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, Bet Online, the game starts here. And now, after enough carnival barking, let me bring in Steve Alexander, somebody who shoots free throws as well as Ben Simmons, while blindfolded. How you doing, Steve? And what we want to know is, are you challenging this man to another free throw contest?
Well, no, I'm not. I've written Ben Simmons off. I'm done.
So if he comes knocking, if he's like, I want a rematch, you're just going to say no?
No, if he approaches my people, if his people get in touch with my people, then of course I'll put on a pink blindfold and go shoot free throws with him any day of the week. But I don't foresee that happening.
Was the last one pink? What color was the blindfold last time?
Oh, yeah, it was pink. It was horrible. It was my wife's sleep mask or whatever, and it had like, it's pink and it's got like two lady eyes on it. One of them's shut and one of it's open. It's pretty hilarious. It actually was the best part of the video I made of shooting free throws blindfolded.
And you hit what, 25%?
Somewhere in there.
Let's see, Ben Simmons. Oh, he beat you, dude. 40%. He beat you.
Well, it was this playoff percentage I was going after, and this is like 3 years ago. So I think he was like 28 or 31 or something really bad. And I don't know.
Now, Ben Simmons, point guard extraordinaire, he should be able to break the paint, right? And that should cure the Brooklyn Nets of all of their ills. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Twitter is telling me he's going to be an MVP candidate this year. I'm so excited.
I the Ben Simmons thing has been just going on forever, and being part of Clutch and then not being part of Clutch is super interesting. Just watching, you know, players kind of go through the life cycle of superstar potential to now he's, you know, just kind of trolling the bottom of the ocean, you know, trying to find his way. And there will be a Ben Simmons redemption story somewhere, and there'll be a talk about his defensive prowess, which is there a little bit. You know, I have a hard time really getting on that wagon when you watch him play and he just continues to miss on the details. So while he'll do some super athletic, super smart even stuff, there's just not that consistency. And the consistency probably comes from loving the game and probably comes from really, really wanting to work hard at it. And that's just stuff that's dogged him forever. And it's kind of sad, actually, because you don't want to just keep piling on a guy. And actually, we're probably talking more about the people that continue to prop that up for whatever reason. I mean, in Sacramento, literally, no joke, when the front office kind of leaked through the media that they were considering trying to make a play at Ben Simmons, they were talking about trading four draft picks, you know, four first rounders. It was right after the Rudy Gobert stuff. And it was like, you know, the hype that gets put upon Ben Simmons, maybe that's unfair. He's just a guy right now, and he's not going to save your team. And he's really just going to maybe stay healthy at best. And for fantasy purposes, I guess, to kind of put the nail in the coffin on Ben Simmons is how do you even handle any amount of hype like if they come back and they say Ben Simmons is going to run this team and that's going to be that. How do you handle that in a fantasy league? Is it a strict do not draft, or where's that risk reward threshold for you?
Oh, I'm not. I'm done. I am out. I've heard literally six different times. Oh, Ben Simmons is getting ready to make a big comeback. He's about ready to do this and do that. You know what he does? He misses free throws. He doesn't shoot three-pointers. He doesn't score much. Those first two seasons, or first three, I guess, you know, the near triple-double average of 16 points, 8 boards, 8 assists, like, that was cool. That was fun. It even came with 1.7 steals and almost a block. That was good, but that was also 6 or 7 years ago. And I stand by my belief that Ben Simmons had one goal coming in, and that was to be the number one draft pick in the NBA and to sign a huge contract. And he did that, and he won Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, something his first year, and it's been all downhill ever since. And I just can't, like, even if everything's going well, the fact he can't make a free throw and he turns the ball over a lot and he doesn't block shots, like, and he doesn't hit threes. Like, there's still so many weaknesses to his game. I don't see what the benefit of the risk seems to far outweigh the potential reward to me.
And then you get to the reality stuff, which I probably don't have time for in this show, but like players like him that have unique strengths and unique weaknesses, but they're on the ball a lot. You know, Rajon Rondo, is kind of a classic archetype for this. They force your team to play a certain way, and that can look good when it looks good, but all those deficiencies, they just continue to pile up, and they're forcing your team into a certain style of play. And it just starts to eat at every single thing the team is doing. Players that don't fit into that construct, they don't like it at all. They start to get frustrated with the guy racking up all of the numbers. And in his case, Ben Simmons, he can't shoot, doesn't want to shoot. The other team is happy to have him handling the ball, and it just goes downhill from there. So we'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. He was presented as a possible solution for this team's point guard woes. And these are some serious woes. Like, we'll flip it. We'll try to do something positive about the Brooklyn Nets. Cam Thomas was a positive for the Brooklyn Nets. He's the only guy, minus Dennis Schroeder when he arrived, that can get his own shot. Like, Mikal Bridges can get his own shot, but I don't think he, in the context of how they were using him as a number one guy, and really they didn't even use him as a number one guy. That kind of went out the window early in Brooklyn, but as a number one guy, you know, getting a lot of touches, declared the guy, Mikal Bridges can't get his own shot very easily. And maybe that worsened as the season went on, but now you're looking at a team of guys that can't get their own shot. And the one guy that can, Cam Thomas, his usage was out of control, 30.7 and only 2.9 assists per game. So while he could get his own shot, he couldn't get anybody else a shot. And I think this team just got super easy to defend, and it just went super downhill from there. Cam Thomas, I believe, didn't you have him in 30 deep?
I did.
What was it about Cam Thomas that you saw last season that 29 other fantasy GMs did not?
Nothing. I mean, I drafted him so late. There were no other leagues that would have been drafting that late. So, and honestly, Cam Thomas, some nights he was great and other nights he was terrible. Like, his usage rate was high, but his field goal percentage just all over the place, man. It was nothing for him to have a 3 for 15 night. And those are killer. But, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, pretty dysfunctional team, right? Like, Dennis Schroeder, Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Nick Claxton, Ben Simmons, Cam Johnson. Like, nice players, but none of those guys is a top even two player on almost any other team. And they were looking at Mikal Bridges to be their alpha dog and for, you know, Cam Johnson to be their two guy. And they're just not built for that. That's one of the big problems with the Nets is they just don't have any star power that comes with having an alpha dog that's going to carry your team and lead the way. Like, they're really one of the only NBA teams that doesn't have that guy.
Yeah, I wonder with Mikal Bridges if he was not – what was his offseason training like the year before last? Because it's a guy with super long arms. I mean, I don't know if his arms are the longest, you know, for his size in the NBA, but if they are, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And if you're going to be on the ball, you need to have serious handles. And I think he's really struggling in that department, because if he had the handles, he would be able to kind of work side to side a little bit more and use some of that length and the herky jerkiness to get by guys. But without the handle being tight, he's just got guys that are just planted in front of him. He can kind of get around them. He can kind of, you know, shoot over them a little bit. He's working a lot of fadeaway shots, just wasn't able to get anything going downhill. If he had that, you know, I mean, we all know he's a great role player as a third or fourth guy. We watched it in Phoenix, and defensively he can get after it as well as most. I would say it was a little disappointing to see him defensively this season as well. I thought if there was some sort of an undisclosed injury that we would later hear about in his pursuit of keeping a perfect games played record, wouldn't shock me at all. But he was looking like kind of the next Kawhi Leonard in the sense that he was able to defend at a very high level. People were raising him up towards the top of the defensive ranks in the league, and then offensively playing a super efficient game, ability to shoot, ability to play the mid-range, not as strong as Kawhi or anywhere in the same universe. And definitely the trajectory shows that Kawhi is, you know, an NBA champion, best player in the league at certain times, and Mikhail's not anywhere close to that. So the trajectory has changed there a little bit, but he had that pedigree at previous stops. So I guess the question for Mikal Bridges is, can he get back to that? And is it going to take a point guard showing up in Brooklyn that's going to make it happen? Or is there any bounce back potential for him this upcoming season absent that? Let's say they don't get a point guard, even though it seems very likely that they do. If they rolled it back with a similar rotation, are you going to sit there and kind of peg Mikal Bridges as a, you know, fifth or sixth rounder going forward?
I'm much happier looking at him as fifth or sixth rounder as opposed to second or third. Like, he was possibly the most overdrafted player in fantasy hoops last year. And it was because of all the hype coming off of his that previous year in Phoenix, when he was sort of like doing everything and looked like the best player on that team. But that's because he had a couple other guys who always had the ball in their hands, and he was their outlet, and he was cleaning up their scraps and whatnot. So I think if he's going to try to be the alpha dog again on this team, or if they decide that him and Ben Simmons are going to be the two-headed monster on that team, I think it's going to end in disaster. I think they do need a true point guard and you know, some names, some hype guys in there to draw some of the attention away from Bridges.
Yeah, just looking at some of his ranks in previous seasons, you know, top 12 guy in Phoenix, two seasons, the penultimate season in Phoenix, and then his last season in Phoenix, 24, or pardon me, that was the penultimate season. And then 2022 to 2023, number six overall in nine cat formats. I mean, this is a guy that's finished for three straight years prior to this in a first round finish or a second round finish. That's some pretty lofty territory. I mean, granted, this is a guy that's played a lot of games. You know, he's never missed one, I don't believe, right? Yeah, he's completely perfect as an NBA player. So he's had that in the past. I think folks looking at that probably, you know, he's going to get cut loose in Brooklyn. Oh, that can only be better, right? But what we've seen is it doesn't always work out that way. If you are a best player on a bad team and things continue to get worse, your numbers might actually get worse, not better. So you're saying stay away, but do you think that there would be a return to those kinds of values if there was a better point guard or add another, say, two offensive players to this squad so he can actually focus on some defense? Would you actually get more excited about him then?
Yes. Yeah, and I was super excited about him last year. I was, like you said, he's going to be given the keys to the whole thing in Brooklyn. So he's got to build on those numbers and be even better, right? So he's going to be a top 10 player. And it just did not pan out that way. And I don't see, it doesn't feel like it was a fluke. I mean, if you watch the Nets play, you see exactly what was happening. I feel like the same thing is going to happen again this year. I don't foresee the Nets changing their team up dramatically. So I'm expecting more of the same from Mikal Bridges. People who drafted him last year will probably be out on him. People who didn't will see him sitting there in the fourth or fifth round and be like, ooh, it's a great time for me to get Mikal Bridges. And it may be. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in round four or round five, but he certainly can't be trusted in round two after last season.
There's all sorts of things going on with this here. Like, for example, okay, if the vibes were bad in Brooklyn, Mikal had always profiled as kind of a player that didn't complain a lot and was, you know, kind of doing the right things. And really, I think most people thought this guy's got his head screwed on straight. But what if he's not like that? What if he got upset about the way things were going in Brooklyn and just sort of pouted? These are pouty numbers. He's got 1.4 combined steals and blocks last season. It was 1.8 and 1.6 and 2.0 in the three seasons prior. So a major dip in defensive stats. Okay, maybe that's attributed to having so many responsibilities on offense. Free throws, 81.4% compared to 89.5% the year before. So, you know, when you get in your own head and you're just bumming out, like, that just kind of felt like his season in a nutshell. And toward the end of the year, it almost just looked like he didn't care. And then there was the streak chasing stuff, pardon me. So maybe Mikal has some sort of a bounce back, but his name is getting tied to New York. It's getting tied sort of everywhere. I think everybody in the league's like, yeah, now's a great time to try to go out and get Mikal Bridges as a great fit to some of these other squads. Any number of locations, if they could pull a move for Mikal Bridges, I think you sell the farm to do it, because that kind of trade is not typically available in the NBA. But let's see what else is going on in the world of Brooklyn, because it's not all Mikal Bridges. Nick Claxton finished with 66, A66 rank, I should say. I think folks might have been a little bit disappointed by that. I want to say Claxton was going in like the fifth round ballpark. And so he played 30 minutes a game. Free throws were bad, which is to be expected, 55% on about three per game, 2.1 blocks. So he got the blocks, 11.8 points, 9.9 boards, even 2.1 assists. But the number doesn't end up being, you know, where he was drafted. What kind of season do you think Claxton had? And then is that somebody that you're looking forward to drafting this upcoming season? Do you think he'll be a good value?
Is he moving out of Brooklyn? I feel like he is.
I think it's anything goes in Brooklyn. I think this is one of these team reviews where the team preview portion of this will actually look a lot different.
Claxton had I feel like his season last year was as expected. He's not blowing anybody's socks off. He's not changing the world, but he's doing big man things that you expect him to do. And he's a terrible free throw shooter. Claxton's not a guy. I mean, I'd rather have Jared Allen than Nick Claxton year in and year out. And next year, I'd rather have Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford than Nick Claxton. So I feel like sort of like when we talked about Colin Sexton and the Utah Jazz yesterday or the other day, it was like nobody's going to go into their draft like targeting Colin Sexton. I think that may be where we are with Nick Claxton. Like, he's no longer a hot up-and-coming center of the future, but he just sort of is what he is. And you take him to plug in a hole in the 7th, 8th round of your draft.
I think he'll go a little earlier because he's still pretty young. But you're right. Like, the shine is off, and he is exactly what you said he is. And then we'll see how things shake out in Brooklyn as far as players that get brought in. Actually, you know what? Let's jump down to a player that was really on the radar for all sorts of different fantasy purposes. DFS, you know, season long, Dayron Sharp. I think people have been wanting to see Dayron Sharp get cut loose. Average 15 minutes a game, 61 games, 262 rank, you know, just like really not anything to write home about, but he did get some time as the year went on in various spots to spread his wings and fly away. I don't want to say he was amazing during those times because he really wasn't, but you can start to see the foundation of a fantasy game here. You know, 0.4 steals, 0.7 blocks. You know, maybe he becomes a 1.5 blocks per game guy if he truly gets cut loose. And then what else can he bring to the table? Some points, some boards, some double-double type numbers, possibly work the assist game. You know, did Dayron Sharp hit your radar this year, or is he just still too far down there?
I mean, if Nick Claxton goes away, then I'm intrigued by Dayron Sharp. But even, I mean, if you look at the end of Dayron Sharp's game log, he wasn't doing anything, like 6 points, 4 boards, 4 points, 1 board. And you think in April, for a team going nowhere, they would have given him more leeway and more run. I mean, on April 7th, he played 24 minutes against the Kings, had 4 points and 4 boards with a steal and a block. So, I mean, the intrigue is there, but I need to see changes. I need to see him in the starting lineup. I need to see him getting, you know, at least 26 to 28 minutes a game before I'm truly interested.
Yeah, it really felt like, because you're right. I mean, you got this guy you want to see locally, they are begging to see Dayron Sharp. I don't want to say it's because it's just some easy, you know, yeah, we should definitely do this decision. But I think they're just out on Claxton as a long-term solution, and they just want to see what the other guy can do. But Claxton played, you know, looking at the game log down the stretch from March 21, and really from the middle of March, he was up at 30, above 30 in almost every game in the second half of March. And for 4 of the 6 games above 30 in April. And in some of those games, he was hitting 35, 37, 37 minutes. So it was like Brooklyn, I think, was showcasing Claxton and trying to get ready for this summer to see what they could move. If they could move him and see what they could get, and really trying to put out to the league, hey, this guy's a young guy that can get it done. And he had some poppy games, 22-9 for Claxton against Milwaukee, 17-13, a 16 rebound game prior to that, 11-13. So some big rebounding games. I mean, he was up over double digit rebounds in something like 7 out of the last 10 games. So, maybe that's what was going on. And, Dayron Sharp probably doesn't get any hype this season. You know, toward the end of fantasy drafts, but just a name to keep an eye on, I guess. Cam Johnson's another name I don't want to spin by without talking about, because he had a really bad season, finished outside of the top 150 at 156 in 58 games, though. That's actually a little bit impressive right there. 27 minutes played per game, typical Cam Johnson numbers, though some of the shooting stuff slid, couldn't stay healthy. Theoretically, right? Cam Johnson's a guy that could put mid-round value kind of with his eyes closed if he stays healthy. But what's your position on Cam Johnson heading into this season?
You know, I keep waiting for Cam Johnson to be really good. And we kind of saw him have a bit of a breakout performance in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And I've been waiting for him to kind of turn that into regular season success for two seasons now, and it still hasn't really happened. I mean, it just seems like Brooklyn is a place where potential goes to die. You know, like Nick Claxton was supposed to be the next big thing. Mikal Bridges was supposed to go crazy last season. Cam Johnson is going to be really, really good. And he's going to have a full opportunity in Brooklyn now. And he's just sort of, you know, doing this thing. I really like Cam Johnson. But I don't know that he can have success in Brooklyn.
That's one hell of a slogan for the arena, where potential goes to die, the Brooklyn Nets. I love it. Okay, so that's going to wrap up our Brooklyn Nets preview, or review, I should say. And tomorrow we're stopping in Chicago for the Great Deep Dish Pizza, and also celebrating a very successful fantasy season for most folks not named Zach LaVine. I'd like to humbly ask you guys to like and subscribe to the show. Keep sending us feedback so we can keep improving it. And if you're not a premium member, you're definitely going to want to look at that very soon, and keep an eye out for some mega promotion that we're going to be releasing here in the next week or two as we get ready to release the NFL Draft Guide, which, by the way, having looked at this thing, it is on par with everything else you're seeing out there. So that's great. You want to check that out. Tweet at us at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, at Aaron Brewski, at Sports Ethos, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. This has been a Fantasy NBA Today production presented by Bet Online. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.